Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Healing Light Show. This is Reverend Stan, and today we're going to be talking to Malachi Nathaniel. He's an eyewitness and visitation by Jesus Christ. He has an awesome testimony to really build your faith and let you know that Jesus Christ is as real as you and me. How you doing, Malachi?
Oh, I'm doing. It's another day and another, day to do God's work.
Amen, amen. How you doing, Stephen?
I'm doing good. How are you?
It's a great day in the Lord. It's beautiful here, and the birds are singing, so it's a great day in the Lord. And I just kind of want to start with Malachi. Now, what is your testimony when you got drawn to the Lord, man?
It's a bit of a long story, but to make it short, when I was a child, Jesus showed up and basically said, I honestly have no idea what he said, but the effect was that when I saw him as a child, I went to heaven. I don't know what he said, but he said something. And like 20-something years later, when I closed my eyes, and, you know, I see it. I still remember going to heaven, seeing Jesus and all that. It was life-changing in that every time you close your eyes, I see Jesus. I remember it. And it's I can't forget it. Now, I didn't obey Jesus right off the bat. I'm sorry to say I am a turd and a stinker, and I ran from Jesus for a long time. It wasn't until I was a teenager that I finally started getting my act straight. That doesn't mean I had random people walk up off the street and say, hey, Jesus wants you to start obeying him, because I did. But I didn't. I liked my sin, and I didn't want to stop.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things I see with a lot of believers. You know, they've been in sin for so long that they kind of got a habit of it. And the thing of it is you know, they got to get out of that habit and walk for the Lord. And, you know, holiness is a big thing, and people don't really understand that. And, you know, as a church today, they don't really promote a lot of holiness. They, you know, they think it's all good, you know, but but in the long run, it's not. It don't help your Christian walk at all. It actually can push you away from the Lord. But yeah, it's awesome to have that thing where, you know, you have that communication with the Lord. Now, did you have a visual of the Lord?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go into a little more depth, I was 5, 6 years old. I think it was 5. I just one night woke up in heaven, and it was, and for however long, it was like I was in a cloud, if you will, being, and I was just being like a dense fog, and it was like someone had me swaddled and wrapped in a very warm cloth, and if love had a feeling, that was it. And I don't know for how long that lasted, but eventually, like, the Jesus showed up, and he was standing on, like, you know how, like, a king sits on a throne, and the throne's raised above the audience chamber? Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
It was like that. He wasn't sitting on a throne, but he was standing on a raised platform, and it was all white. Everything around me was just so white, bright white. I mean, I don't want to explain it to you. You've never seen in your entire life that kind of whiteness. It was holiness, really, is what I think it is. You know, it was as vast as the eye could see. And Jesus was standing there, I don't know, 20, 30 foot from me, not looking at me, but like he was talking to a crowd. And he said something. I don't know what it was. It wasn't a whole lot of it, because it was, you know, a sentence or two. And it was in some other language, and I woke up. But I woke up, and the thing is, no one had ever told me who Jesus was that I know of. And I woke up, and I went to my mother and said, Mom, I saw Jesus last night. And no one believed me. Coincidentally, went to church the next day, and I told the church, hey, I saw Jesus last night. No one believed me.
It's kind of weird, because I could add something to that. When I was a child, I had a dream, but I was in a cathedral. And this cathedral was all had white pillows. And in the middle, I felt that the body of Christ came inside that cathedral, and Christ would talk to everybody. It was like a stadium. And he was raised up like that, but I never did get to go in. I kind of woke up, but it was like a cathedral wrapped around, and in the middle, you know, like if you go to, you know, a local Coliseum, you know, you got things outside of Coliseum before you actually go inside a Coliseum. Mm-hmm. And it's like the Lord was teaching people inside there, but it was like masses of people in there. And it's like everybody, I don't want to mess up your story here, but anyway, it's like everybody knew everybody's name. It's like the people walking around in robes, like, hey, man, how you doing? And they would call you by your name, and you would know them personally. And that kind of reminded me of that when you said, you know, he was raised up higher than people. He was speaking to a crowd. That was pretty awesome, man.
Well, you know, don't worry about me. I'm here because you asked me to come, and I'll talk about Jesus until you tell me to stop, so.
There you go. But yeah, it's awesome things. I know the Lord really, really, really does unique things, and he reveals himself to you in a certain amount of ways. Now, as you growed up, did you keep this connection with the Lord, man?
Well, I always knew, and I can still today, I'm closing my eyes right now, and I can still see Jesus standing there in all his radiance and glory, talking to the crowd and saying something in a language I didn't understand, but I can still see it. And he showed like molten metal, and light was coming out of his robes in all different directions, and it was the most beautiful sight you've ever seen. And like I said, I ran from it for years, but I always knew that he was real and that I wasn't doing right. And I was convicted of it. And so eventually, basically, he wooed me, if you will, and I eventually submitted. I had already been hearing him, you know, I knew that I played World of Warcraft for a long time, and I knew I wasn't supposed to. He didn't like it, and he made me quit. It was, that was one of the things I knew that I heard clearly growing up that I wasn't supposed to. And he basically moved me, if that makes any sense, like literally changed where I lived, moved me to another place. And then I don't mean like theoportation, like my where I lived, he just up and moved me to a different location, to a different life, if you will.
Yeah, and so he had you to move somewhere.
Yes, and gave me the opportunity to start living for him, and I did. And he started talking to me, and they introduced me. Like, I met Doug Perry, and we talked earlier about that. You know him. And that kind of got me on where to start. And I started, you know, trying to talk to him. I asked him, God, talk to me. If you'll talk to me, talk to me, and I'll start trying to obey you. And he did. And it was, we could talk for days. I mean, literal days on the God stories that the things that God and me did.
That's awesome. Well, give us one of the stories, man.
Well, the one that comes to mind at the start is I was working for Pizza Hut. I worked for Pizza Hut for about, 8-9 years. And while I was there, I was a delivery driver. And I was sick of pizza. And so I'm saying, Lord, I'm hungry. Will you feed me? And he doesn't say anything. But about an hour later, I'm working and whatnot, and I still haven't eaten. And he says, stop by Wanda's. Now, Wanda is a little old lady that he had me go to Walmart and buy groceries. Basically, he said, go to Walmart, buy this, that, and that. And it's a, leave Walmart, go right. You drive straight, you'll right and drive forever long until he says, go left. Go this way, go that way. And then eventually, you drive by a house, and he says, that house right there, stop. And lo and behold, is a little old lady who's taking care of her grandkids, and she ain't got no food, basically. And I showed up and said, hey, the Lord told me to bring you food. And she just started crying, and she became Grandma Wanda for a long time.
That's awesome, man.
So he said, go to Wanda's house. And Wanda had, she was making dinner, and she had a plate of food packed to go. And I showed up, on our delivery, said, Wanda, I'm hungry. Can you feed me? And she says, sure, Malachi, baby. And she hands me the plate of food she was making and starts working on another. And it was pork chops and, like, cornbread and beans and something else. And it was – and it's a food plate. As soon as I walked in the door, she had put it in – she had finished putting it all in a to-go container.
That sounds good, man. I think I want to go see Grandma Wanda.
That's a sweet story, and I guess you could. Well, the takeaway from it is that God hears you, and it might seem really trivial that I worked in a pizza place and there was food around me. I just didn't want pizza, and God cared enough to have someone else start making dinner for me, whether or not they knew they were doing it.
Yeah,
packing
that's
it
awesome.
For me to have it work. I showed back up at work with a full pork chop dinner. And my coworker's like, where did you get that? Oh, God gave it to me.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. You know, it's so unique how God uses his people. A lot of people don't understand that. God works through his body, and that's all the believers. And it could be anywhere. It could be the postman. It could be the man that works in the grocery store, it could be your neighbor, it could be your friend, it could be anywhere. And you ask the Lord and he could send, one of his many body members of people to come and minister to you and help you. And you know, then there is occasions where he'll minister to you himself. So it's very awesome to see how the body of Christ, you know, how he walks through them. It's very awesome.
Okay, I mean, if you're willing to listen and obey, lots of cool stuff can happen.
Yeah. He wants you to obey and listen. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of these people walk around with their fingers in their ears and they don't want to hear because they think they'll have to change their ways of life, you know.
Well, they will. I mean, let me tell you another story if you'll let me.
Go ahead.
This one's a pretty cool one. I've heard God audibly twice in my life. And I don't mean like when I was a kid and seeing heaven. I mean like on this earth, I've heard him audibly twice. And let me tell you, the one was just a personal message to me of don't do that or this will happen. And I did that, and that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one, well, I told you I worked for Pizza Hut for a long time. And so I was driving down the main street of the town I lived in. And there was a Church of Christ having a revival from this day to that day. And for some, and mind you, at the time I'm talking to God, I'm getting to know him, I'm learning how to hear him appropriately and to do and to obey him when he tells me something. And in short, I see that sign, you know, little billboard revival this day to that day, and it just seems the funniest thing in the world to me. And so I do the thing that seems natural to me. I ask God, what would it take for a real revival? And like a cacophony of thunder, he says two words, your life.
Amen.
Which, if you understand what that means, that's a very deep message. That's Jesus says if you want to be his disciple, the cost is your life. You know, lay down your life, take up the cross to follow me. And I didn't know, I knew that, but I didn't think of it at the time. But, you know, revival isn't some, you know, you missed the mark. You stopped being the basic disciple. It's just getting back to the basics. You know, like, they never talk about that in the church revivals, that if you need reviving, it's because you're dead.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. But at this time, we're going to go ahead and go into a song. We'll be right back with Malachi. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is Reverend Stan, and we're talking to Malachi Nathaniel, and he has a very, very, very unique story about him seeing the Lord, and I'm going to let him keep on. I'm going to give this over to Stephen. Stephen, go ahead, man.
So how are you?
If you're referring to me, I'm doing well.
Glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. So one of the things that I want to ask you is you shared a story of how the Lord provided you a meal just because you didn't want pizza. So are there any other stories that you can share where the Lord has provided for you in a supernatural way or a very unique way?
Yes, I can. All right. Let me – Lord, which one do you want? Okay, let's start with school. All right. I go to school at University of Texas at Dallas.
Okay.
It cost $7,000 to go to school this semester. It didn't cost me a penny. God said to go to school, and he's paying for it. The state of Texas is giving me 100 free credit hours because of reasons.
Repeat that last part again.
So the state of Texas is giving me 150 credit hours to go to university with, which
mm-hmm.
is a bachelor's degree worth of credit hours, because reasons. Like, there's not really a good reason why they're doing it, just that they are.
Okay.
Because
now, tell us how that happened.
I lost my job. I got laid off. The Lord says, all right, go to school. And I'm like, okay, Lord. And then, through some series of events, some debt owed to my family, state of Texas is like, oh, by the way, here's 150 free credit hours. And then,
wow, that's amazing.
And then I'm also getting paid $1,000 a month to go to school while I'm in school.
Wow, that's amazing. I've never heard of that really happening to anyone. Usually there's something that they were owed or something like that, but that's amazing, man.
Well, I mean, I don't know the particulars behind it. There might have been that my father or mother had done something or something was done, you know, whatever, had done something,
mm-hmm.
and that was owed to them. We just didn't know it up until the point the Lord said go to school.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so he reserved it for this time.
Amen. Let me ask you something else. So can you tell us about how, I know you say you saw Jesus at a very young age, but you didn't really commit to him until later on in life. Can you tell us how that happened for you, like in death?
When I committed to him,
yeah,
he was calling to me, and I knew he was real, and I knew I was sinning, and if you've ever been, any of you guys ever been convicted for something? You know,
oh,
yes, sir.
Wrong,
yes, sir.
And you just don't, and you ignore it, and you ignore it, and you ignore
yes.
it, and it just compounds and compounds and compounds. And to
yes.
the point that you can't sleep at night. Does that make sense? That you know that you're in the wrong. You know that God's calling you, and you're still running? I mean, I did that. You know, and I know that, believe me, I am not the greatest of Christians. I'm not. I don't even think I'm the least in the kingdom of heaven, because the least is the greatest, right?
Yes.
But, like, eventually the Lord called me, and I said, okay, I'm here. I couldn't take it anymore. And he started calling me, and I said, okay, Lord, I started seeking, and miraculous things started happening.
Yeah, Malachi, I want to ask you something. I want to ask you something, Malachi. What can you explain the backwardness of the Lord? What we think is go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to ask you to explain what backwardness. I think I know what you mean,
you know,
but I don't want to say one thing and you.
Okay, like you know, like when it says, you know, the worst in the kingdom of heaven is the best in the kingdom of heaven. How God sees things differently than what we do, the least to the most.
You
like
are,
that.
So you might consider, some might consider Joel Osteen or some prosperity gospel, super rich, flying a jet, as the greatest preacher there ever was. I want to bring up Jeremiah the prophet. If you know anything about Jeremiah the prophet, you might consider that man a failure. No one received his message. Most people thought he was a false prophet until hundreds of years later when his prophecies came true. Jeremiah didn't do a very good job convincing people that what he heard from the Lord and said was true, but he did it. And I do believe he was killed between the altar and the door. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he was killed for it. And under that standard, if you are obeying God, if you're obeying Jesus, then that's really all that matters. And you might be, your role might only be to give a single cup of water to someone. But like, the Lord's going to value that and going to see that. And some, I don't know how he's going to do it verbatim, but there's going to be some point in which he knows just how hard that cup of water was. I've heard Doug say something, Doug Perry, we were talking about him earlier, say something like this, and the Lord basically said, yeah, this is how I do it. You might have the ability to endure torture and persecution unto death, and it might only take 10% of your resources, you know, that God has given you to endure, right? And there might be someone that is all they can do to remain a Christian while they have a severe migraine. I don't know, that's kind of petty to describe that way, but that might be all they can do. And the Lord's going to see that and their effort and willingness to obey him during those circumstances based on what they can do. Now, I'm not him, and the better thing to do would be to ask him to talk to you about it, you know, but that's kind of an example that Jesus says the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than whatever. I don't remember the exact quoting, but, you know, that there's some kind of methodology there that it's more than, I'm not sure where to go with this, but the way you think of great isn't how he sees great.
Yeah.
You being obedient to him, and even appear the smallest detail, might be more than anyone else. His grading scale is beyond our comprehension, and it's entirely just.
Amen. I know the world's point of view is you got to be a pastor of a 1,000-body church with 5 services, and you got to be on TV twice a day, and you got to be this and that, and then you might be the greatest. But in God's eyes, it can be, you know, the guy on
the degree.
Yeah, you got to have that special degree. But in God's eyes,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can, in God's eyes, you can actually, you know, be only a regular person giving somebody a new pair of shoes that's homeless on the street, or helping that person through the door that never would have anybody open the door for them. They always got slammed in the back of the head by the door because they couldn't get in because they was disabled. So, you know, just little things like that, you know, the Lord really looks up to. And, you know, the little things matter. The little things matter that you do for people. And people don't understand it. And it matters to the people, too, because they always remember you. And the Lord sees everything. He sees everything, to the personal, to where you are, I go in details where he sees everything. He doesn't miss a thing, and everything is highly recorded and written down. Everything is recorded. What you do in your living room, what you do in your, you know, I'm not going in everything, but everything is highly recorded. For if you don't find Christ, it's going to be there. Everything's going to be there. So he doesn't miss anything. If you think you're hiding from God, you know, you can talk to Noah the whale guy. I can't think of his name right now.
Jonah.
You could talk to Jonah on that one. God saw everything, knew he was running from him, and God found him right where he was. So, you know, you can't run from God. He always sees you and sees what's going on. But the thing of it is, when he sees you, he loves you. He loves you, and the things that he wants you to do is better for you, better for you. See, one thing that I see here is that our will is the world's will because we've been trained by the world. We've not been trained by God. The only thing that we have of God is the Word. That's the Word of God is God's will, but everything else that we learned from school, we learned from all that, is from the world. So when you're, you know, get richer no matter how it takes. Treat people like crap until you get what you want. I mean, that's all worldly stuff. That ain't the way God sees things. But when you love people, you treat them with respect and you do the best you can for people, that's way Lord, the Lord wants you to move. And, you know, a lot of his will is different than what the world sees things. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, no, man, that was good, man. You, that was right on point. But I just wanted to say that a lot of times, I really think this comes down to a lack of discipleship in the church. I was just talking about that with someone yesterday, last night actually, but people don't really know what the word says. They just know what they've been told it says, and usually, unfortunately, that's been done through some mainstream type of Christianity interpretation, which is really just the world's spin on it. So it's watered down by the world. It's watered down by our culture, and I think that people really just need to get back to the Word and find out who Jesus really is, who the Father is, who the Holy Spirit is, and what He's commanded us.
Amen.
Does that kind of make any sense?
Well, that makes
yes,
perfect
sir.
Sense. What I would like to interject something here, you know, that you mentioned that I hear God, and I do, but there's something I would like to clarify that anyone can hear
yeah.
God. There's something.
Correct.
That, you know, I don't want people to think I'm just some super, super, super duper prophety guy. I'm not. I don't know what I am. I don't like saying that I'm anything. You know, whatever role in the fivefold ministry I happen to have, I don't know. I've never even bothered to ask the Lord. I just do what He tells me. But, like,
yeah.
anyone can hear God. And if you'll let me tell you how, it's a really nifty story that the Lord told me.
Go ahead, man.
Basically, it's your birthright as a Christian. When I first started hearing Him, you know, I said, all right, Lord, I hear you, but how do I know that it's you? And so one day, the whole story I like to tell people that when I'm out ministry, that basically that one day, and this is both a truth and for the sake of storytelling and simplicity, it's the truth, but it's simplified so that I don't spend hours telling you that if that makes sense. It's what happened in a shorthand version. But basically, I asked the Lord to start talking to me. If He was real and true and for today, because I grew up in this, you know, whatever household, cessationist household, Lord, talk to me, please. And I'll do whatever you tell me. I've been running all this time. Will you talk to me? And the Lord starts talking to me and says, you know, here I am, whatever it was He told me. And I'm like, how do I know that it's you? So He says, go open up to your Bible. And I'm like, okay, Lord. The ethereal voice in my head, I'll do what you say for now. And then you go look in your Bible, and He says, all right, open up to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. And to paraphrase that verse and a couple verses afterwards, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit that comes in the name of God. But this is how you know which ones come from God. If they acknowledge that Jesus the Christ come in the flesh. And so I asked, all right, what do you do with it now? And he says, ask you the question. I'm like, all right, did Jesus come in the flesh? He's like, no, you didn't ask right. You need to ask if Jesus the Christ come in the flesh. And I'm like, why? And he's like, because there's a million Jesus slipping burgers out there. You know, because Jesus Christ is a title. That's who He was, the Christ. He's Jesus the Christ. There's only one of Him. You can't mistake Him. And Satan and all his demons and such as that will use every loophole they can to trick and confuse you. And so if you ask them the wrong question, did Jesus come in the flesh? Yeah, He's out there putting murders. Did Jesus the Christ come in the flesh? They'll say no. And so that's just kind of anyone can ask God to start talking to them. And He will, if you'll obey Him, you know, if you make the sincere effort to hear Him and obey Him. And I can't say through which avenue He'll talk to you. It might be a song on the radio. It might be a still, quiet voice in your head like He does with me. It might be audibly. It might be in whatever fashion He decides to lead you. But if you're willing to obey, and you're willing to say yes, Lord, to whatever it is, be His yes man. Doesn't matter what He asks you, you do it.
Amen.
Then He'll talk to you. And some scriptural references. I don't have them on hand for you, but some stories. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And so if you're one of His disciples, you're one of His sheep. If you don't know His voice, are you really one of His sheep kind of thing?
Like, I'm not saying that your salvation is predicated on hearing him, but Jesus wasn't a liar. And his sheep means one of his disciples. So if you're one of his, you'll hear him and he'll talk to you.
Amen. Amen. That's kind of unique. And, if God speaks to you, he wants you to obey and listen. And not everybody's willing to do that. And there's a special few that would actually do that. But I really believe, now, my thing is when you start teaching people how to listen to God, you got to know what God, who God is, and what God is, and what ain't God. Because as we all know, the enemy is going to try to manipulate God and act like he's God and try to lead you in all the wrong ways. And one thing that I normally tell people is when you start hearing from God, make sure it's biblical. If it's going way off the path of biblical, that it's not God. You know?
If you'll let me, every time he's told me something, eventually I know him well enough that I can tell the difference between him and Satan, if that makes sense. I know kind of what he, if I'm fighting it, because I don't know, I don't really want to give my last 20 bucks to that person. That's probably God telling me to give my last 20 bucks to that person, because I really would rather have a hamburger. There are things that Satan would not tell me to go out and preach the gospel and tell that person, hey, God says your sin is this and you need to quit it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. That's not me. And I can typically, you know, there are certain, and he usually gives me time. I've never really had him not give me time to double check or ask him for a scripture reference. You know, when he was talking to me, you know, he gave me, when he first started, I asked him, all right, you got to prove me who you are. I'm not going to just listen to anything. You know, and I did the First John chapter 4, verse 1 test, and he said, yes, I am. Yes, I did come in the flesh. I am Jesus Christ. Okay, great. Can you give me one other witness in Scripture to back that up, that you can talk to me like this? Because, you know, I grew up in a household where this is pretty great. And so he gave me Isaiah 58. And Isaiah 58 says, if you do these things, God will talk to you. God will, and there's just like a degree of obedience that, depending on what you're doing and how obedient you are and what degree you're walking in, what amount of holiness you're walking in, that God will lead and organize every little path, every little detail of your day. That might sound strange to some, but it's in there. Isaiah 58.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome, man. That is very awesome. What has God been talking about? You know, has he been clarifying anything of this year? Anything that he's working on in this country, this world?
Judgment's coming.
Judgment's coming.
Woe unto you, Bethsaida. Woe unto you, Pergamum.
That's
for our country. I was
in
school the other day, and he had me just stop what I was doing and just start crying out loud. You know, not super duper loud, but like just speaking a word. And I don't remember all of what it was, but you know, it wasn't pretty. You know, it was the Father talking. He says, I'm going to bring a double-edged sword after you in my hand. I'm coming. You think I'm not, but I am. And it's not going to be pretty. You know, when he called them Pergamum and Bethsaida. And if I remember right, those weren't good towns. They were Bethsaida, woe unto you, Bethsaida, because something along the lines of Jesus did all these works in you and you didn't believe. Had these works been done in Sodom, they would remain unto this day. And I don't remember exactly what Pergamum did wrong, but Jesus wasn't super happy with them either.
Yeah, that's the great cities that was fully in sin and wouldn't actually budge, but you know, that one did, you know, and they changed their ways of looking at things, and you know, they asked for forgiveness, and Jonah didn't think that they would change, and they did, and it made Jonah mad, or Nineveh, yeah, Jonah just really didn't want them to change.
Knew God would forgive him.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Christ is, no matter where you are in your life, if you're so far in sin you can't see out, and you ask for the Lord, He'll forgive you. And
I kind of think he makes special cases for those people. I asked the Lord one time, you know, and he basically said, how, you know, there's a parable where Jesus says, who loves more, the person that was forgiven of much or forgiven of little? And the Lord one day just said, you know, the reason I like you is because you have a lot to forgive. Like, meaning that because I goofed up so much, because I sinned so much, I mean, like, my iniquities, it was nothing for the Lord, but to me it seems like a mighty deed, a mighty miracle to forgive me, if that makes sense. It was the sacrifice of Christ to do so. But he that's forgiven of much loves much, and the Lord did forgive me of much. You know, so the more in a pickle you are when he sets you free, the more loyal you are. He's the pearl of great price, and you recognize it.
I'm gonna add one to that. I work with a lot of people at the place that I work at, and there's a guy that actually murdered somebody, became a Christian, got out of prison, and God restored his whole life. He gave himself to the Lord, and God restored his whole life. Now, how much worse can you get than that? And God just restores your whole life and forgives you of everything. Now, you got to think of God that murdered somebody here, forgave him of everything, and then restores his life. That's the type of God that we have. That's the type of God that we have, that he will restore your life no matter how deep in the hole, no matter what type of crazy stuff you've done. He can forgive you because of his son, Jesus Christ. His son, Jesus Christ, paid that price. If Jesus never did come, you would have to face the full judgment. But Jesus took that judgment for you on that cross. He paid that price for you, and he gave you a redo, to redo things. Give you a chance to repent and change your mind, how you see things, and live a new life for him. And at this time, while we're talking about this, I just want to ask anybody that if you're listening to this broadcast right now, you're listening to us on podcasts, however you're listening to this, if you have not gave yourself to Jesus Christ, you did some terrible things, and you don't think God can forgive you. He can, and he will. And I ask you just to say this prayer right now with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I repent, Lord Jesus, for all of my sins. I hand all these sins to you and your cross, Lord. I hand all these sins to you and your cross. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you rose on the third day for me. Lord Jesus, I accept you into my heart for eternity. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And so it is. If you just said this mighty prayer, he has just came into your life. And I ask each and every person that's just said this prayer, I ask you to find a nearby Bible-believing church. And I would prefer a Spirit-filled church. And, you know, and get plugged into this church. Go to Bible study. Learn the Word. Really get to know the Lord. Have that one-on-one conversations with the Lord. And I'm telling you, you know, you don't have to, you know, go all out and be all holy. You can be riding your car and just start talking to the Lord. Tell him things that you want to tell him. Tell him about your mistakes. Just make him your personal Lord and Savior. And that's what this broadcast is all about. It's about you making Jesus Christ your personal Savior, because he loves you more than you would ever know. And at this time, Malachi, I want to thank you so much for coming on here. It was an awesome day in the Lord, man.
Thank you for having me. If you want to talk one last thing to your listeners, I'd tell them if they did come to Christ, if they did submit to him and are willing to live for him and all that, that it's not typically stated, but you need to mean it. And you need it's not I surrender some, it's I surrender all. And there will be times coming in which that decision of yours will be difficult. And you need to be discipled. You need to be willing to stand for him when it's not convenient, because there's a time coming. And I don't know the exact timing, but it is coming. That it's not going to be pleasant to be a Christian. And you have to decide, is Jesus, that pearl of great price, worth it? And he is, I promise you. If you when he starts talking to you and he's your best friend, and no matter what it is, you can talk to him and tell him and have and Oh, I wish we had the time, guys, to talk all the God stories that I could tell you. But
amen,
for those of
amen.
You who just asked Jesus to be your Lord, it's worth it. But know the cost, so that when your time comes to deny him or not, you're ready to stand up and say, yes, Lord.
Amen. Stephen's got some stuff he's want to ask. Go ahead, Stephen.
I just wanted to add on to what you said about judgment's coming. And I just believe that is true. You know, you brought up those cities that Jesus said, if the miracles that had been done in you were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would be here to this day. One of the things that the Lord has shared with me, and there's a lot of debate within Christianity and a lot of debate within the churches when it comes to, you know, can God move like this or can God's power demonstrate like that? And there's a lot of churches that don't believe in healing and don't believe in a lot of different stuff, and which are things that we see in Scripture is obviously, you know, something the Lord does. And not only that, but he desired to give us these things. One of the things that the Lord really shared with me a long time ago is that a lot of times people would just not deal with that type of stuff because it causes controversy. One of the things the Lord really put on my heart, I've been sharing this with everyone that I could, he's not okay with the things that we sometimes are okay with just to go along and get along. And I believe that part of the judgment that's going to come is not honoring the Lamb of God, not giving the Lamb of God what he died for. You know, to be ashamed of what he died for, to be ashamed of the gifts he gave you that cost him his life. I really believe that that's going to be part of the judgment that's coming. And I really think that we all need to evaluate and really commit ourselves to really taking a hold of everything that Jesus Christ died to give us. That's just been my conviction as of late. To live
amen.
In a way that honors God and honors the sacrifice that he made in every way.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
Stan, I've really enjoyed being on your program. I don't remember your other guy's name, but I love you. You love Jesus, and I hope that we get to visit with each other more on air, off air, whatever, anytime that we can, because I love Jesus, and I know you guys do, and it's just dark outside, and it gets real lonely when you're the only person for 100 miles that loves Jesus.
Amen. That's awesome,
amen.
Man. And it's always good to know, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ and keep in connection. And if anybody wants to get in contact with you, how could they do this?
Well, my Facebook is Malachi Luvano, Malachi. Last name, Luevano. My middle name is Nathaniel. My phone number is 903-449-8415. I pick up whoever it is, unless the Lord says not to. So I'll answer your calls. I'll visit with you. I'll be your friend if the Lord will let me, and I'll try. And whatever that you need, any prayer you need, day or night, call me. You know, you guys too. You know, I serve him around the clock, so, you know.
Yeah.
I figure if you're allowed to pick up that phone and call me, then we're allowed to talk in a way, unless he expressly states otherwise.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, as we're speaking here, I'm getting two or three calls wanting me to pray for them. So I'm sitting here, I can't do that now. But yeah, it's, you know, God will use you. If you open your hands and you're willing to be used, God will use you. And he will drag you around to many places because, you know, the workers are few. The workers are few. There's a lot of people say, I love you, Jesus, but then they go back into the worldly way and they don't want to listen to him. So if you're out here and you're willing to be used, you know, you will be used and he will put people your way. And I remember back when I became a minister back many years ago, we had a lot of people that got ordained and it was all for, you know, benefits and for who they get to meet and all that. But God has other plans with ministers. So he would bring people towards them real quick. You know, hey, I need this, I need that. And then ones that's in there for their sales fell like a rock. And the ones that was there for the right purposes raised up amongst all of them because they was the ones that God originally used, but the other ones that the enemy put into place actually wasn't really there to be used by God. And you'll see that. The ones that God has called, the one that he knows that's for sure, he will raise them up. If you're one of these people, If you're one of these people that you really want to be used, I want you just to raise your hands up right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, and you better be really for sure about this, because he will bring people your way like lightning. Just raise your hand, say, Lord Jesus, I'm here. I'm the body. I'm part of your body. I want to be used more than normal. I want to be used more than normal. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bring people my way. I promise I will pray for them. I will minister to them. And I will love them as you will, or as you do. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Just raise your hands right now. Lord Jesus, these people has made a commitment to you, a full commitment more than others. I ask you to bring people their way. I ask you to give them a knowledge and the power to minister to these people. I command this now in Jesus' mighty name, and so it is. If you just did this, now Jesus is going to use the believers no matter what, but there's special few that's really out there. It's really got their heart in it. You know, they really want this. They really want that. And now I really feel if you just did this prayer with me, they're going to be coming your way, and you better be ready. You better be for real, because he will start seeing them. Because like I said, you know, the harvest is full, but the workers are few, and he needs workers. And I want to say God bless every one of you. I want to thank you again, Malachi, for coming on the show today, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for having me, and we'll see you next time. All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by.